Please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Beginning at verse 1, John 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company coming to him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him. For he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. I want to talk to you this morning about the greatest gift as we think about Christmas miracles. Do you believe in miracles? If you believe in God, you believe in miracles. Look to your left. You see somebody over there that you're looking at a miracle. To your right, you're a miracle. You're looking at a miracle. When you get home, if you look in the mirror, you'll be looking at a miracle. Down in the Flatwoods where I live, it's really dry. And we live on a dirt road and it's dusty. Several days last week, I noticed when a car, a truck comes by, you don't have to guess what it is or what's going on. It takes a while for the dust to settle, but you know what I thought? I said, you know that God makes us out of dust. Genesis 2:7 says that God made man out of the dust of the earth. And breathed into his nostrils life. Isn't that amazing? You know what? I think we take miracles for granted. And we've let religion sap our miracle wonder away. Jesus should have taught us a good lesson about childlikeness. Oh, the wonder of a child and the miracles. You ask a little child, they believe. I remember I had a friend of mine that we were in school when we were just really young, and they were asking us what our daddies did. What vocation. And I never will forget what he said. He said, my daddy can do anything. And he really believed that. We need to believe that our Father, our Heavenly Father, can do anything. Last week I had a few minutes with my grandson Jackson, and he and I were together, and he got hold of my phone. And I noticed him calling his daddy, Philip. I said, Jackson, don't call your dad. I said, he's working, busy. Don't call him. He said, but he's my protector. I said, well, go ahead and call him. And you know what? That is what our Heavenly Father is. Sometimes when you wonder in your life if you need to pray or you need to talk to God about something, you realize that He is your protector. And the one thing about miracles that I want us to hone in on is that miracles remind us that God is with us. And you know, that's what Christmas is about. Emmanuel, God with us. Well, what a blessing to understand that miracles also remind us that God will provide. And right here in this text, I mean, this text, what I read to you, you don't have to preach this stuff. I mean, it's just plain and simple. It is not a parable. This is not a parable. This is not some parable Jesus, and he did teach him parable. This is not. This is just the plain facts of laying it out here. Here are some people that got into a situation, put there by the providence of God. They didn't know what in the world they were going to do. They didn't think about it. Jesus reminds them through his disciples, what do you got? Well, we don't have much, and what we have is not going to be enough. Isn't that kind of how we deal with life? So we just kind of sweep it under the rug. And we miss so much of God in our lives. Oh my goodness, how many miracles we probably missed. I want to say three things about this text. And you know, I look at this text. I want to try the next weeks before Christmas to deal with Jesus' miracles and relate that to his birth. Because that's why he was born. Not only was his birth a miracle, but it was to provide miracles. Do not ever forget that your being forgiven of your sins is a miracle. It is a miracle. You say, why did my life end up like this? Well, why did my wife or my husband have to die if God is such a miracle worker? Well, because the greatest miracle is that you're carrying on your faith in spite of your hurt, in spite of your grief. Don't you see what you're doing to God? You're glorifying God. Well, why can't I have any children? I see other couples, they have children, I can't have children. If God is such a miracle worker, why did he give us children? Well, maybe just you need to see that the greatest miracle is that you're living for God and you have faith and you don't have children. See, it's not so much what we have, it's what we can do without and still bless God. See, this little boy had two fishes and five loaves of bread. He couldn't have two bags of locusts and a jar of honey. Didn't matter what he had. What matters is what hands it was in. See, it was put in Jesus' hands. You take what you got and you put it in the hands of God, and my goodness, some friends, you will know the miracle worker. That's what he does. So in John 6, you know, it is the bread chapter. I think there's 71 verses here. I mean, it's powerfully packed with Jesus Christ. And people that doubted him. And and I sure haven't. You know, I'm not going to beat up on Philip and Andrew because I'd be even worse. How many times that we want to focus on what we don't have than what we do have in God? And why would we want anything but Jesus anyway? You know, we run after so many things. I saw a glimpse of news the other night. And they said in Savannah, Georgia, at the, no, maybe this was Atlanta. Could happen in Savannah. And you might have been there, so I'm not meaning to step on any toes. But what happens is Black Friday sale at Bass Pro Shop. People camped out beginning at 8:30 the night before. Now, I mean, it was 30 degrees in the Flatwoods. I don't know what it was in Atlanta. Just to save a little money. I mean, what are you going to do with the money anyway? You going to take it with you? I mean, you know, we chase things when we ought to be looking for miracles. You know, I remember growing up in the country and we had dogs, outside dogs. People had the outside dogs. You go down the road and you ever heard of a dog running a car? They run cars. Some of them don't run them long, but some of them run them. But you know what I wonder? What in the world would that dog do with that car truck if it caught it? That's kind of how it is in our life. We run after things that when we get them, we don't know what to do with them. What we need to be saying is, whatever I got, I'm going to give it to Jesus because he knows what to do with it. Have you given everything to Christ? Your problems, your children, your pain, your inadequacies, your faith. I'm trying to hold back. Saul tried to do that. When God told him to take out all the property, livestock for the enemies, he tried to keep a few. Until Samuel heard the bleating of the sheep. He said, what mean is this? God knows what's going on in your life and mine. And we better be thankful he does. But I want to tell you, my friends, it's a sheer miracle that we are able to live just life. And if God withdrew his help from us, we would not be able to walk, take a breath. I'm just telling you, miracles are mighty. Don't ever lose the wonder of the wonder of Jesus Christ. And never doubt his ability, his love and his willingness, his forgiveness to provide everything we need when we need it and how we need it. It comes from God. It's all because of the birth of Christ. Now, this is talking about Jesus' providing bread. But you know, I thought about the birth of Christ relative to this miracle. Born in Bethlehem. Bethlehem means house of bread. Okay? So really what we're talking about in our Christmas as we approach this time, we're celebrating the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. That we understand that it's about what happened in a manger. It's a miracle. It's a miracle that Joseph and Mary went there. It's a miracle that the king gave the decree that they go there. Caesar Augustus, to pay their taxes. No accidents with God. It's all a miracle. Okay, I want to try to say three things, and one is miracle. I want to talk about miracles. I'm talking about the greatest gift. And again, you don't have to expound this. This is a simple account of Jesus Christ, the reality. And I said last week, and I've tried to live what I try to say to you, that Thanksgiving is the result of a vital union between you and Jesus Christ, and is measured by how much you experience that union in your daily life. And we need to be thankful all the time. There is nothing that we cannot be thankful about, or that we shouldn't be thankful about. Nothing. Even though things don't always work out like we think, they work out like God wants them to work out. And God is always right, He's always good. So when you and I complain, what we're complaining to and about is God. When we complain about the government, we're complaining about God. When we complain about our children, we're complaining about God. When we complain about the church, we're complaining about God. This is all His. What we need to be is like this little boy and just take it on to Jesus. No matter how heavy the burden is in your life, remember that God is on the other end of it. You hear me? Make sure God is on the other end of everything in your life, because your life comes from God. I didn't say you were perfect. I didn't say you never sinned. That's why we have a Savior. Trust Him. Okay? I want to say about a miracle, I want to say that we not only have a miracle maker, we have a not only a Savior, but a God, a maker. And we have reason to have motivation. There's no business in life in Christ of quitting, of giving up. I told my children the other day that Penny and I are getting up in age a little, but we were not going to roll over and play dead. Didn't I, Kelsey? And that's how we need to be in the church. Doesn't matter what the world. Can you get along in life without not everybody liking you? If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you can do it. Can you live without some things that this world says and your friends say that you got to have? You can do it with Jesus. With Jesus, you can do all things. Without Him, you can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. First of all, I wanted to say, certainly this is a miracle. A miracle is where men's strength ends and God's begin. Miracles come in different shapes and forms. I was down at a church last week where a man has shown me a few years ago where a miracle happened. You don't have to be a super saint. This man took me to a river They were just giving me a tour. We went to a landing where people have picnics. And he said, Brother Randy, said, I was maybe 8 or 10 years old. And said, I was swimming with the family in the river. And I got off on a sandbar too far, and I got into the current. And I didn't know how to swim. And the current swept me down the river. And said, I saw my whole life come back. I went down in the water, and I come up and was gulping for air. And he pointed, he said, you see that bend over there in the river? I said, I do. He said, well, right around that bend, there was a man in a boat with a straw hat on. And that man reached down and picked me up and took me and set me on the shore. And he said, to this day, we've never been able to find out who that man was. Nobody saw anybody fishing on the river. I have heard people in this very church tell me of a car accident where they were upside down in their vehicle and somebody pulled them out through the window and they got up and they couldn't find anybody. I'm not trying to tell you super spooky to make you religious and spiritualize anything. God sends miracles. They may come in the form of strangers, angels, unawares. But do not ever doubt that God is with you and He is able to help you. We need to glorify Him. And we need to be more conscious of how God reveals Himself to us. Don't you know that's a miracle? Do you ever think about a miracle of you believing in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you think that's just something that academically you acclaimed? Hey, man, it comes from God. Miracles matter. Because that's what our life is made of. It says here in the text, some people were following Jesus because of His miracles. That's okay. You know, if I started telling everybody I was going to be able to heal you from being sick, if I put that on Grice Connect or somewhere here in Statesboro, I bet this place will be full of people next Sunday. Jesus is a true miracle worker. I'm not. You're not. But what God is doing, He puts us in places where He works His miracles, and God normally works through people. People like you and me and this little boy. Had 2 fishes and 5 loaves. You know, it's easy to doubt miracles. Again, I mentioned Philip. He didn't think it could be done with what they had to deal with. I want you to know Jesus is a solution to every problem. Secondly, I wanted to say this. Not only when we think about the greatest gift, we have it in Christ. Now, again, before I ad-lib on the other point, I wanted to say this about Christ, the bread of life. You know, God teaches us, Jesus does, in the Sermon on the Mount, that we're to pray, Lord, give me my daily bread, our daily bread. Well, what does that mean? It means everything we need. Now, in this world, these people needed to eat. You may need something else. You may need love. You may need comfort. You may need to be chastened. You know, we do need that sometimes. See, thing about God, God doesn't give us what we want. He gives us what we need. See? And that's why we see Christ, he is our shepherd. And he says, I shall not want. That means I won't lack anything. Do you know with Christ, you don't need anything else? Secondly, I want to say this. He makes these people sit down. Notice that first. Doesn't it say that? Yes, in verse 10. Jesus said, make the men sit down. Do you know one of the reasons that I'm sure that in my life, we don't believe as sensible to miracles as we do is because we have a problem with authority. Most of us have a problem with authority. But I'm going to tell you what, if you're a child of God, God has made you that way. Do not tell me that what you do to become saved is accept Jesus Christ. I have not been able to find that in the Bible. What I have been able to find is that we have been made accepted in the beloved. Ephesians 1 verse 3. God does not ask your permission to save you. He doesn't. You have absolutely nothing to do with your eternal salvation. Nothing. It's a miracle. You know what? It's a miracle that God would have anything to do with us anyway. Especially me. God's going to make them sit down. You know, he can make you sit down. He says again in Psalm 23, he maketh us lie down in green pasture. Psalms 100. It is he that made us. And not we ourselves. And we are the sheep of his pasture. Have you ever thought of what a miracle it is? That God has made you, not only made you alive, but made you his. And it's not, I guarantee you, because you're worth all that much apart from Christ. We're not. We're nothing. Just like that dust floating down the road over in Arcola. Until God puts it together. And my friends, until God puts your life together and took all these things in your life that you think is going to make you inadequate and overwhelm you, until Christ puts that in his hands, you give it to him and he uses it and he makes something out of it, because he is a God that makes something out of nothing. And that is including bent up, broken, shipwrecked lives. I saw a man in Ken's IGA down at Brookett last week who went to school with my brother Ricky. He said, how is your brother Ricky? I said, he's in prison. He said, I would have never thought it. I said, well, I would be there too. He said, no, you had more sense. I said, no, I didn't have no more sense. It's all by the grace of God. Do you know why you're not there? Do you think it's because you have so much education that you know better? I'm going to tell you, people, there's people that are greatly educated, that have lots of things, that are addicted some of the most horrific problems in life, and there's nothing worse than unbelief. Do you know why God's great blessings are so great this Christmas? It's because it diminishes unbelief. There is a Savior right there in that manger, just that little baby. See, God takes little things and makes something big out of them. Don't think about the big things, little things. Jeremiah, Zechariah, despise not the little things. I mean, that little problem, that little situation in your life, you deal with it. You say, well, I don't know much. I don't know either. But you know, Penny's analogy, I came here 20 years ago. And I know you've been putting up with me that long, but I'm going to tell you what happened. I don't know a whole lot. I mean, seriously, I was over at the Lake Church. I started trying to preach. I called one of your preachers, Brother George Donhauer. I said, Brother George, tell me, how do you know what to preach? I mean, does God just give you something, just zap you with it? He said this, Brother Randy, he says, you stay between Genesis and Revelation. You'll be okay. I never forgot that. For some reason, and albeit they're pretty flat sometimes, and I'm going to tell you what, these 20 years God has given me at this church, I've always had something to say. Now, where's that come from? If it's anything of merit, it comes from God. It's like Jesus breaking the bread. That's what it means. It's a continuous giving. That's what Jesus does in your life. Do not worry about tomorrow and what's going to happen and how you're going to make it. You worry about not worrying. Jesus is a way maker. See, what he wants to see these disciples to see and you and me to see is our way is not going to make it. Do you see that yet in your life? Do you see yet that your plan A is not often God's plan A? And when we have to go to plan B, that makes it God's plan A. See? That is what we need to see, that God takes a little thing, this little boy now, and he comes and he says, this is what I have. And Jesus makes him sit down, and he has green grass there. That's no accident either. Obedience. See, if your faith wavers, I know mine does, your obedience will stand up. See, that's why faith is not about feelings. I mean, it's like, it's how we answer questions. I mean, why? Well, why do I have to be baptized? Because Jesus said so. That's why. Well, why do one man and one woman come together in a holy union for marriage? Why is that? Because God says that because that's how he arranged it. That's why. Well, why is it that women aren't supposed to be preachers? It's surely not because they can't preach. I have been around women that preach circles around me. But why is because God says they're to keep silence in church. I didn't say that. That's what God says. I mean, so here's the deal. These people, Jesus says, but we don't have anything. And Jesus said, well, you just sit down. Jesus said, I want to see what you're going to do. Are you going to do what I say? Well, what part of God's telling you to do something in your life that you know of right now that you haven't done? Maybe that keeps you from experiencing a miracle. You ever thought of it? Or do you think you can get along pretty good without it? I don't know. Time will tell. And lastly, the motivation part. You know, these people didn't read, they want to make him king. I mean, the motivation of serving God. You know, you and I really won't know what's worth living for until you find out what's worth dying for. And what's worth dying for in your life? Anything? I'm going to tell you, your life is from God. Would you give it back to him? Jesus says, if a man lose his life for my sake, then he will find. You'll have enough. Here we need to find the fragments of life, or the very things that are the overflow. What we need to see before we leave here today is we're living in a time where everybody's in a big hurry. Christmas brings a lot of that. Line up. What we need to be aware of is that the little fragments of time God gives us, we need to spend it wisely. It's a precious thing. One example, about 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon, I said, you know, I got a little time here. I'd already put some hay out to the cows. I said, what can I do? I can go visit Edwin Aikens, is what I can do. I got 1 hour. I was supposed to be somewhere. I had to leave about 5. I'm going to use that time to go visit somebody. Now, that's just my little example. What I want to try to instill is you, these fragments, these 12 basketball, God's given you plenty of leftovers. So what are you going to do with them? Don't waste grace. But I'm going to tell you what, not only is grace sufficient, it is overflowing. May the Lord bless us to see the miracles, the greatest gift that God gives us. As reason to live for Him who died for us. You can face tomorrow because He lives. Because He's the giver. He's going to be with you. You can face yesterday. Because He died. He died for your sins. You're forgiven. You can live for today because right now He's interceding for you. Did you know that? That He's praying for you. That He's interceding. He's sustaining us. Let's have a prayer. Lord, we thank You for the church and the opportunity we have to proclaim Your holy name. We thank You, Lord, for Your miraculous birth. But Lord, we thank You for what that birth has created and how it's made us new creatures in Christ. Lord, forgive us for our complaining. Bring us to the front. Help us not to think our obscurity or littleness in any way hinders Your using us in the work in Your kingdom. It's nothing, Lord, we have to advertise, nor should we. But Lord, let us be willing, as this little lad You counted here, to bring what we have to You. And make that righteous transfer from our hands to Yours. You can do more with our money, our family, our life, our work, our business, and the church than we can. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.